Hey, everybody. Tim Moe from The Bulwark here with managing editor Sam Stein, who thinks he is funny. others think he is repugnant. You know, the different views, different strokes, different strokes. We're here to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's fresh off her star turn on Real Timers with Bill Maher. And then she was on The View today. And it was pretty chummy on The View. And we want to play the clips from you for you. But before we do that, Sam, I'm wondering, do you have like a kind of global theory on what's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene you want to share with the group?
Sure. Well, first off, fact check. One person thought I was repugnant. It was Stephen Miller. And I wear that with honor and pride. Okay. People have actually brought that up to me. Be like, why did Stephen Miller say that? And congratulations.
We should mention, since it's election day, Andrew Cuomo. Endorser, Stephen Miller.
Yeah,
proud endorser of Andrew Cuomo for mayor, Stephen Miller.
It was a real trio of winners that went to Cuomo yesterday. Trump, then Musk, then Miller at the end of the day. Cuomo must have been like, what the hell did I do? For MTG, you know, it's interesting. There's two theories. One is that this is kind of I want to take the new populist mantle of Republican politics that everyone seems to have forgotten, you know, like the Josh Hawley types who were doing this in 2024, and to a degree Vance, right? And just run with it. And I have my lane. That's one theory. The other theory is that in the attention economy, being provocative and stirring the pot is good no matter what. And one way to differentiate yourself from a pack of people who are just like lemmings following Donald Trump is to occasionally not follow Donald Trump. Now, you could do like the Tom Massey version of this, right? And you could do the MTG version of this, which is slightly different than Massey. And I kind of find myself going back and forth between the two of those theories.
What about theory C, that she's spurned, she's unhappy that the party didn't endorse her or support her for the Senate or governor's run in Georgia? Both are up next year. And that she is pissed and bitter, and this is all about spite.
What's the end game in that scenario?
I don't know. Maybe she's not a 40
not, not a long term thinker.
Maybe she's
here.
A minute by minute thinker. I don't know. I'm with you on not knowing, and it kind of, to me, it kind of doesn't matter. I get frustrated. I see this thing, you know, from people who are consumers of whatever you want to call it, resistance media, from like pundits criticizing people who are like, oh, there's a strange new respect for MTG. You don't have to hand it to MTG. Like, don't be fooled. Don't get the wool pulled over your eyes by MTG. From like my perspective, I'm like, I'm not fooled by MTG. I mean, she is what she is. Like, she's she shoots from the hip. She's extreme. She has wild and wacky views. She expressed some of them, which we'll show you from The View. And she talked on Bill Maher, kind of did an aside about how she thinks aliens might be fallen angels. I mean, MTG is still being MTG. I see clear-eyed what we have with her. But what she is reflecting now, whether it's genuine or not, does not really matter to me, is important because Trump's populism is hollow. And if there is ever going to be a toppling of the populist right, MAGA right, it is going to have to come from people who respond to populist entreaties. Like, we have tried the effort where my people, the college-educated suburban Republicans, get brought over. There aren't enough of us. Okay, right. There are more non-college people in the country. There are more people who are attracted to populist politics. And so that there has to be a crack-up over there somewhere. And if MTG is part of that crack up, whether it's for attention or for spite or for genuine, the scales have fallen from her eyes and she realizes that Trump's a phony. Like, whatever it is, it doesn't matter to me because there is a truth in her statements, regardless of whether there's good intention and what's behind them.
And you also got to sort of say, you know, politics can't be so binary. You can't be absolutist about everything, right? Like, you shouldn't be 100% in agreement with everything that your party advocates and associates. You should have issues that jump between various factions. Otherwise, you're kind of dull, right? Mm-hmm. Now, do I agree with MTG on the issue of chemtrails? Yes. No, I don't agree with her. Do I agree in Jewish space lasers? Maybe. I have my thoughts.
Well, we have that takes us nice to The View because the lasers were brought up. And so I'd like to pull up here the clip D on whether Marjorie Taylor Greene has changed.
First woman. You've also had these clips highlighting the public, very public spats that you've had with your colleagues, where your behavior, some say, is just unbecoming for a congresswoman. And you're promoting conspiracy theories like QAnon in the past. But you seem to have grown past that. And I feel like I'm sitting next to a completely different Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why the change? Why the evolution?
Well, funny.
It's like you've gone so right. It's like you're on the left now. It's like
I'm not on the left. And we could talk about Russian collusion. That was a conspiracy theory and a lie. Uh-huh. There's lies that come from both sides. Let's be really honest.
Well, the Russians did try to affect the outcome of the election.
Russia collusion with Donald Trump was an absolute lie, and all the information's coming out. Mm-hmm. So both sides have had their lies, but here's where I'm at. All of this two-party fighting, you guys, you are all victims of the political industrial complex, and it's built on fundraising and fighting and toxic just garbage. And that exists all over social media, but that's not going to solve our problems in this country.
Would you say you don't believe in the QAnon conspiracies anymore?
Oh, I went over that a long time ago. I mean, we
So you've changed.
Well, no, I haven't changed. I was a victim just like you were of media lies and stuff you read on social media. You all have attacked me many times on this show.
Because, we have.
Because of things that you read about me. That weren't true.
Or clips we've seen.
Or clips you've seen
that
took me out of context.
What was that about?
No, but wait, hold on.
Not even true.
Let's take a second.
Yeah, it's been rebuffed.
I'm getting the. I see.
So they bailed her out there. So I guess if Marjorie comes on the Bulwark, which she is invited on, I've already invited her. We'll have to do a little follow up on what was rebuffed exactly about the Jewish space lasers.
No, can I jump in there, because I was just going to finish my thought about that. You know, I don't want to whitewash that stuff. And I think it's not fair to just say, okay, you've changed and thank you for, you know, your journey to this more respectable person. And, you know, I'm if she genuinely believes that she was the victim, as she said, of, you know, the political industrial complex, whatever that is, or that she got, you know, bought into conspiracy theories and she saw the light, or everyone is problematic, great. I'm happy for her. Congrats. But it doesn't absolve some of the stuff she said and done. And I think it's important to, you know, not just absolve her of it, but you can have that. And you can also say it's good that she is willing to speak out and call hard truths against her party and say, you know, we do need to release the Epstein files, or, you know, we don't have a healthcare plan. Like we're talking about all this stuff and we've never produced a plan in 12 years. You can have both those opinions of Marjorie Taylor Greene at the same time. I don't think it's problematic to hold those two viewpoints simultaneously.
I wasn't really tricked by any of those things. So I guess that's one thing that me and Marjorie don't share. I did enjoy that Alyssa is nodding there. Something you got to watch out for when you're interviewing a crazy person is the facial reactions. I'll be talking to Alyssa about that in the future. I want to go to the healthcare thing, which is the main populist issue that she has spurned the party on. But like before we do, just while we're sitting on the Jewish space lasers and Jewish conspiracies and while we have, you know, the representative of the tribe here to speak about the topic. She was asked about Nick Fuentes and anti-Semitism in the party.
I saw that.
And the answer was didn't really knock my socks off as far as her coming around on anti-Semitism. Let's watch it.
There seems to be a significant divide on the right over whether to give a platform to noted white supremacist Nick Fuentes. Mm-hmm. Many prominent conservatives like Ben Shapiro, Senator Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, they've spoken out against amplifying him. Mm-hmm. You two have had a complicated relationship over the years, but at a moment when anti-Semitism is on the rise, where do you stand on this?
Well, first, I'm not anti-Semitic, but I am critical of the Israeli government.
Well, I mean domestically speaking, because a lot of Nick Fuentes' words are, he hits every group, but very much just Jewish people in general, not Israel, Jewish people. Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, I don't have to agree with his words on attacking people like that. However, I, as a lawmaker, I think it's incredibly important that I defend our First Amendment for every single American. Of course, that does not apply to death threats or anything like that. However, I think the most important thing we can have as Americans is our free speech, and it can be speech that I either agree with or completely disagree with.
Now, I'm with her on the free speech, but not exactly a fervent dismissal of Nick Fuentes there. Very, at most, a lukewarm kind of passive tense. I don't have to agree. She didn't say I disagree with what he said. She said, I don't have to agree.
Yeah.
It's a passive sense effort.
Passive beyond passive. It's unbelievable. Yeah, no, that one underwhelmed. I gotta be honest. I would like her to go a little bit further in condemning Nick Fuentes. Doesn't mean you're anti-free speech to say, hey, this guy's repugnant. That's someone who's actually repugnant.
Indeed. Something. It was an interesting choice of words. Deplorable, you might say. Okay. So the main thing that has been the main two issues that she has kind of separated herself on are the release of the Epstein files and the healthcare question. For me, the healthcare one is more interesting because it's an actual policy issue. And she's discussed like on all of these shows, on Bill Maher, on this show, you know, basically she settled on a talking point of we don't have a plan. There's like, this is a real crisis. Healthcare is very expensive. I've asked Mike Johnson to come up with a plan. He doesn't have one. And like, show me the lie, I guess, basically.
There is no lie. No lie. I mean, I guess the reason that this one stings is because this whole debate right now about the government is, can you do something to make sure that that premiums do not go through the roof, which they are because the sticker shock is coming right now, even though the policies take effect in the new year. And Johnson's been evading it by saying, well, you know, we've got this proposal and, you know, we can work on this very quickly and yada, yada, yada. And the truth is as our Jonathan Cohn is pointed out repeatedly, it's bullshit. It's just bullshit. And they've been saying this stuff for a decade plus. The plan's always 2 weeks away. It's always not in time, even though they say that it's right around the corner. And at least with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's just calling it out, which is that it's bullshit. Now, the next step would be to maybe put together a plan or to be part of a group to put together a plan. I don't anticipate that from her, but it would be nice and interesting to see if she did it. But at least she's saying the truth, which is that this is just a sack of bullshit lies about healthcare that the party's trying to use to just get out of this government funding debate. And I'm sure it really grates on Mike Johnson and leadership team that it's coming from inside the House. But what makes it so problematic is that it is true.
Yeah. And the fact that it's true, it's like, I think the thing, which is why the motivations don't matter to me, because like the things she's talking about resonate, is if you if you listen to any populist right type media people who are not doing just Trump hagiography, Tim Dillon is one I've picked up recently. All of the topics that he talks about are the same things that she does. Like the things that they're pissed about Trump on are Israel funding. There may be some anti-Semitism wrapped up in that, but there also are some legit policy issues with Israel.
Yeah.
Two, healthcare. They're talking specifically about working class people, the people that MAGA is supposed to represent. Maybe there's some racism wrapped up in that, but they're talking about working class white people, but that would include everybody. You can't just give healthcare to white people, at least so far in this country. So that's two. She's hitting on that. Epstein files, because they've all, you know, been talking about that. And so she is just like reflecting like a real frustration out there on all those points. And the healthcare issue is the one that is the most tangible, that people are going to actually, you know, it's going to actually affect their lives, at least in this country. And like, you could do a populist version of what she's doing, which is like, sure, we should let the subsidies expire for like the early retiree boomer class that like doesn't need it, but like working class, working families
Means something indexing like that. Something like that. Well, let me ask you something. Okay, first, what if she's right? Like, what if she's got her finger on the pulse here? Like that, it would be very interesting. And what's very curious is that, has the White House actually like gone after her?
No.
Have they said anything about her?
I'd have to go back and look at the transcript whether they said anything. They haven't meaning. Trump said something like, "I don't know what's going on with Marjorie" or something. It's like from
exactly. He's like primarying Thomas Matzie.
But Marjorie now, if you go through the clips on Real Time and on The View, she's nice to Trump. Like she is nasty to the Johnson. House and Senate leadership. Actually, just for a little fun, because we're having fun, let's watch what she has to say about House and Senate leadership, another truth bomb.
I think there's a lot of paid social media influencers. Mm-hmm. And I found it very interesting that they were the MAGA accounts, but they're all paid. Mm-hmm. And they all attacked me mm-hmm. when I announced I was coming to join you ladies on The View. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very weak and pathetic. But when I talk about weak Republican men, I'm pretty much talking oftentimes about the leadership in the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting our agenda done.
Applause.
And I've got so many bills. I have a bill you guys in New York would
okay,
love.
That's enough. This is a stupid bill. Applause from The View. Her next bill is not populist, by the way. She's still trying to find her footing here. She's like, capital gains tax cuts. It's like, okay, Marjorie. The weak Republican men, Mike Johnson and John Thune, getting applause in the audience.
Weak Republican men, you could imagine Nancy Pelosi saying that.
Yeah,
it's
right,
unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it was just Epstein, right, if it was just the resentment stuff, like, it wouldn't pack the same punch. I mean, people would still like it. They'd play clips. Libs would cheer for it, right? Because, like, whatever. We'll take, you know, the Republicans won everything. So people that oppose them will take anything they get these days. But the healthcare thing is really something. People are really going to feel pain. And Trump, I think, would like to fix it, doesn't know how. And Margie's kind of in the same boat. But it kind of, like, speaks to this weakness of the populist right coalition, which is like there's lips or like they do the culture war stuff, but on like there's a missing ingredient of the old Huey Long system here. Like there's the chicken in every pot and the culture war. Like that's how it works. You need both to be in balance, and they don't have they're not doing the economic stuff.
And I would take she didn't say this, but like it doesn't take a genius to say, man, should we really be throwing Great Gatsby parties like while we're cutting SNAP benefits? Like, does that ring out like populist right to us? I mean, honestly, I think I think she's like one step removed from saying we shouldn't be throwing Gatsby parties at Mar-a-Lago during this while we're cutting SNAP benefits. Cause that's it. I mean, Trump is just, and that's kind of confounding to me. Like Trump, I don't think he's like, I think he's smart about politics. I don't think he's a smart guy, but I think he's smart about politics. And I can't believe how bad he's fumbling this specific moment. It's unfathomable to me that someone would throw that party, then turn around 3 days later and say, you know what? This court order decision that I have to distribute needed food aid. I'm going to defy it. I mean, what good is that? What good does that do you?
It is so strange how bad Trump is missing this.
Right.
Because like, I mean, we've all been panicked for 10 months. Like Trump is going to defy court orders. And he has a couple times in the immigration stuff. And it's like, but there have been a lot of bad court rulings against him. And it's like that he would pick this one to be like, so you know, no, I'm not going to to provide court ordered food aid so that kids and the elderly don't go hungry, including a lot of my own voters. It's like, what? Feels
yeah,
very.
It's madness.
And I think that the last thing I have in this, why the Marjorie thing is interesting, is, and I think it's sometimes hard for people to come from the left to like kind of see this, and it's like the defections from my tribe, like the center right over norms, institutions, and culture issues, like it was legit. Like the Democrats are going to get a lot of votes from former Republicans in New Jersey and Virginia today, and it's not like they're totally non-meaningful. But like Trump was never going to lose power just by being nibbled at from like the minority of culturally liberal Republicans, right? It was never like this was always his big vulnerability. And it really is, there's never been anybody to carry the mantle for it. I didn't think it would be Marjorie Taylor Greene, but nobody, like, if you just think back about all the people who have defected over Trump since 2016 from Republican Party, none of them have been from like the populist right.
Yeah,
really.
That's right.
And there have been some libertarians and then some like center right, whatever, you know, our people, my people. So I think that it is interesting, you know, the whole theory that Trump would never lose his grip on his people. I don't know. Maybe that's true. But I think this is the type of critique she is delivering is the one that would be the most likely to cause him political trouble within his own coalition.
I totally agree. And I hadn't thought about it that way. But, you know, if she is a harbinger of things to come, that is problematic for him to lose that populist right. And maybe that is what you're seeing with these podcasts, people that you follow, right? Like they're not happy with this. They don't think he's really hit the marks on the things he's promised. So who knows? I mean, again, it comes down to her motivations. Is this for some sort of, I don't know, personal benefit, political benefit, or is it a genuine, you know, populist thing. And I just don't know. We'll see.
We will find out. Marjorie, come on
the
show.
Wait. I have to ask you one last thing.
Yeah.
Total non sequitur. The sandwich guy.
Yeah.
He had the guy who threw the sandwich at the cop in D.C. Yeah. He had his court date today. Did you see this?
I saw the cop testified. And
yes.
He is.
I want to just say what the cop said and then get your reaction to it. Please. Is that okay? So the cop testified. I was going to go to the court today because I thought it would make for a fun story, but I got too busy. The cop takes the stand and he says that he could feel the impact of the sandwich through his ballistic vest and it, quote, exploded. Exploded all over my uniform. He says he could, quote, smell the onions and the mustard. Look, I have strong feelings about this, but if this isn't life without parole for the sandwich guy after this, then I can't believe in our justice system anymore.
Subway sandwiches do smell bad. I will agree with you.
Yeah, they got stinky onion smell. They got are it all stinky. Over him.
They are stinky, but if the officer's greatest harm done to him was that he smelled a little bit like Subway,
That's harm. That's real harm.
Is it?
That's lifelong trauma.
I feel like that's
throw
community
the book at
service,
this guy.
I think. I just want to say, Sandwich Man, I am with you.
It's okay? Not this. It's the thing that throws a sandwich like this. Sandwich Man.
Resist. Stay away from Subways, people. You don't want to be stanking like this, like that mustard and onion salami sub. We'll be back later. See y'all then. Peace.
Later.